Welcome to Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
My first UVA basketball podcast since the end of the 2023-2024 season. Chris Graham here. Recovering a bit from an injury myself related to the NCAA tournament, traveling to the first four. Man, I fell at the airport in Dayton and cracked a rib. Oh my gosh, it's the worst thing since my ACL injury 34 years ago. Most pain I've been in since, and it's lingering, man. It's been 2 weeks, it feels like. Well, yeah, a week and a half. It was the Monday night before the first four. It's just not getting any better. I'm wearing this, like, girdle-like thing here, like a flak jacket type thing to make myself feel better. Ain't working. Ain't working. So the season ended, as we all know, 67-42 loss to Colorado State. It seems like so long ago. We're in the second night of the Sweet 16 as I'm recording this. Clemson winning last night in the West Regional, upsetting Arizona. Then UNC upset by Alabama. We'll talk a little bit about that as we wrap this podcast up, especially that Carolina game particularly. As we're recording this, Duke and NC State have games tonight. NC State will play Marquette, and Duke will play Houston. And we'll see if the ACC gets any more into the Elite Eight. Already has one school there, Clemson, a team Virginia beat earlier this year, down at Clemson, 66-65. Clemson will play Alabama tomorrow. Clemson beat Alabama at Alabama in the ACC-SEC Challenge way back when. So there's that. Clemson had also beaten Carolina, if you remember, in a game in Chapel Hill. Big win, as I recall that one. Clemson, sixth seed. I did not think Clemson would go this far, to say the least, the way they played down the stretch. Not that they played bad, just that they hadn't, you know, had any significant wins other than that Carolina win back in early February. And then all of a sudden, this Tiger team's gotten hot. Let's talk Virginia, though. Particularly looking at the transfer portal, you know, I should note, it's nobody on the transfer portal yet. It's amazing. This season has been over for 10 days now, and no one on the transfer portal from the Virginia roster. No announcements regarding NBA prospects for Ryan Dunn. I mean, technically, Reese Beekman could come back. He's a senior, but he has a COVID redshirt year if he wants to use it. No announcements of any kind. And I understand that the exit interviews of Tony Bennett with his players were over on Monday. And I mean, I'm 4 days later on Friday as we're recording this, and nothing, no news. Whereas the news, there's lots of news elsewhere. JMU lost to Duke in the second round of the NCAA tournament. Coach Mark Byington leaves JMU 2 days later to go to Vanderbilt. JMU is going to lose everything. They hired a new coach, the guy from Morehead State. He's going to have to rebuild. Not only was JMU already losing four grad seniors, but then the other four top players in the rotation this year after Byington left for Vanderbilt all declared, put their names in the portal. So there's that there. And then down at Virginia Tech, I don't know what's going on there. They were already set to lose Robbie Barron and Hunter Couture to graduation, two grad seniors. The other top five players from the rotation, all gone. Or no, they haven't gone. I mean, actually, Lynn Kidd's already transferred out. He's already committed to Miami. But the other, let's see, that'd be the other four guys from the rotation have all announced that they're going to leave, including Sean Padua, the leading scorer. Don't know what's going on there. Mike Young is still there. He's not leaving. He's, you know, no, it's not a coaching change leading to this one, as was the case or is the case at JMU. I mean, I kind of know what the case is there. It's lack of money, NIL money. You know, I've chatted over the last couple of years with reporters and others associated with the Tech program about you know, lots of things, NIL being one of them. And it's been a supposition that the lack of NIL resources was eventually going to come to hurt Virginia Tech athletics, and we're seeing it now. But those two situations at JMU and at Virginia Tech, very different than the one at Virginia. Virginia will only have, if assuming Reese Beekman goes to the NBA draft as expected, and Ryan Dunn does not go, as I think is expected as well, Virginia would only have one scholarship available for the 2024-2025 season, not already accounted for. And there's an obvious need. Now, you know, I would say my buddy, Matt Newton at Cavaliers now, kid sits beside me at on Media Row at JPJ. He sat beside me at the NCAA tournament, or ACC tournament. Nice kid, great kid, UVA graduate, recent UVA grad. He's put together a really nice list. I've linked to it on our website, updated transfer portal tracker of the guys that Tony Bennett and the staff have made offers to, at least has been reported to make offers to. That's the caveat there. And the reports come from either other media sources, the kids themselves saying, I'm blessed to have received an offer from the University of Virginia, whatever the case may be. Matt did a great job there. I'm not going to try to recreate that. So I've linked to it on the site. Looking at the roster. So I wanted to kind of break things down. And I wrote a column last night that's been getting a lot of clicks. And it's for a good reason. It's really an explainer as to what Virginia is going up against. And I leave NIL out of this. You know, we talk about NIL. I just talked about it with Virginia Tech. We don't really know what the situation is at Virginia with NIL in terms of actually knowing what the situation is at Virginia with NIL. So I'm going to leave that out as one of the variables, even though that is an important variable. We just don't know how to quantify it. But we can quantify a couple other things. One, on the admission side of things, a discussion behind the scenes recently gave me some great insight into how not just Tony Bennett, but in any UVA coach of at any sport, I mean, football, baseball, any, you know, all the way down, all the Olympic sports has to deal with in terms of transfers. The admissions folks say that the easiest kids to get in are seniors, basically guys who are guys or gals. In the case, we're talking men's basketball here. So guys who are in fact are set to graduate will be grad seniors next year. They're the easiest to get in because, hey, they've already graduated from somewhere. That means they're good students. No need to worry about credits transferring from another school. They're going to grad school at UVA. They will be going to grad school at UVA. So they're the easiest to get in. Second easiest to get in will be freshmen. Guys who only have the 1 year of credits to transfer over. Of course, they have to be good students to get into UVA, right? But, you know, as you get further into an undergraduate career, sophomores, juniors, you know, it gets harder because they have more credits to transfer. Think about Caleb Love going from UNC as he did last year. He ended up at Arizona, but he had first committed to Michigan. And I mean, UNC is a good school. Michigan's a good school. He was a junior. The credits, there were issues with admissions at Michigan, and he'd ended up at Arizona because he couldn't get his credits to transfer from UNC to Michigan. It's hard to as more credits accumulate to have them match up from different schools. That's not just the case at UVA, it's the case elsewhere as well, but it's certainly something that has been mentioned to me as something that has to be taken into consideration. So I look at the transfer contact list that way first. Second, I look at, the Virginia's needs for next year. The biggest need is obviously going to be in the front court. Virginia will lose Jordan Miner, a grad senior who played center, mostly a defensive center this year, came in with a reputation, I mean, with numbers, 17.4 points a game at Merrimack last year. He's a double-digit scorer a few years there at Merrimack down in the NEC. But he was really a you know, just a stout defensive guy for Virginia in the post. He's lost Jake Groves, the grad transfer forward wing, stretch four, played some five out of position as a five. But Groves is lost as well. What that leaves in the front court is not a lot. If you count Ryan Dunn as a four, which means power forward, not a fourth guard, as he's actually introduced in the starting lineup, you got him. But then Blake Buchanan, who's a true post player, 6'11 freshman. Then after that, you got Anthony Robinson, who redshirted this year, gained about 20, 25 pounds in muscle, but redshirted this year, 6'10 kid, big kid who is a project. And then incoming freshman Jacob Kofi, a 6'9", 225-pound, probably projects more as a Jake Groves-type shooter-type power forward. That's what you got on the roster now. It's clear that there's a need for a Ben Vanderplas type, you know, maybe taller. Vanderplas was 6'7"-ish, 6'8", maybe on his tiptoes with thick shoes. But a big guy who's stout, who can defend the post, who can also shoot. And you know, assuming Virginia is going to continue to use the 1950s offense that Tony Bennett prefers, the mover blocker. You know, it's also called sides, but there are sides plays. I've been watching a lot of NCAA tournament much more closely from an X's and O's perspective since Virginia has been knocked out. I'll talk more about that. Probably write a column about that next few days. Sides doesn't have to be the antiquated offense that Virginia, the way Virginia runs it. But if Virginia is going to continue to play offense the same way, going to need a big guy who can pick and pop. There's a couple guys. Now, not on Matt Newton's list at Cavaliers now. Igor Milicic is a guy that intrigues me. Played the last couple of years at Charlotte. Now, you might remember Igor's name. Igor played at Virginia his first year a couple of years ago as a freshman. Didn't play a lot. What we saw of him was intriguing. I guess I'm using that word a lot here. Reminded me as a freshman a lot of how Jay Huff reminded us as a redshirt freshman. Big guy who can shoot threes and rebound. We saw glimpses of that in his first year at Virginia. Then he transferred to Charlotte. He actually went there. Ron Sanchez, who's now back at Virginia as an assistant coach, was his head coach there for a year at Charlotte. This past year, Milicic really stepped up. Averaged 12.5 points a game, 8.5 rebounds a game, shot in the upper 30s from three. He's 6'10", he's 230, 235, can rebound. Looking at him defensively, really good defensive stats, really good elite defensive stats when you look at his numbers on Synergy Sports. And he's not on the list, but I know he visited Virginia this week, I'm told. Very good authority. He visited with Virginia this week, whether that was formally or informally. He's got friends on the program. His best friend from his first year, Tane Murray. They were two of the three M's that year. If you remember the three M's, as we call them, Carson McCorkle was the other. Tane is obviously still part of the program at Virginia. And so Milicic, to me, would be a perfect fit kind of guy. There are others, though, that Virginia's reached out to who would fit the bill. Jerry Ding at Hampton, a 6'9 freshman, a 6'8 senior from UNC Greensboro, Mikael Brown Jones, would also fit the bill. Both those guys, double digit scorers, shooting in the mid to upper 30s from three. And when I cough, it hurts. It really hurts. That's priority number one. I would think if I'm Tony Bennett, would be a guy like that, you know, one of those three guys. Any others who may emerge off the portal that can score, can rebound, have size, can give you minutes defensively. Now there could be other scholarships open. We're 10 days in, nobody's entered the portal. This is all speculation, so please don't confuse. I'm not saying I have any informed anything. This is just speculation on my part, but I've been speculating this for a while. That there are three guys on the current roster with eligibility left who seem like the kind of guys who might be transfer material. You know, Dante Harris could be a guy. He would be a redshirt senior next year. Sorry for the cough again, and it also still hurts. Harris, he played this year, did not have a good year. He had an injury, was out for a while. Even before the injury, though, he was having trouble acclimating, it seemed like. Not a very good shooter. Good defender, not a good enough defender to make up for his lack of offense. And the fact that he would be graduating here, I guess it's late March, so in a couple of months, he could, look for more playing time and also do so with a degree in hand. Andrew Rohde transferred in last year from. As a played his sophomore season, he came from a St. Thomas down in the Summit League was a 17-point per game scorer there. Obviously, did not adjust this year. His number, he was in a 4-point per game range. Shooting was awful. Got a lot of playing time. Did not do a lot with it. He was given every chance times 10 to show something, showed nothing. Again, oh, that hurts. And Leon Bond is an intriguing, gosh, I'm using that word again. I need to get my thesaurus out. Leon Bond, redshirt freshman this year, he seems like the kind of guy who's probably best friends with everybody on the team. I got to sit behind the Virginia bench. Got to, or was forced to. I don't think it was a great situation at the A&E tournament, because sitting behind the bench means you're watching half the game on the scoreboard above. For whatever reason, the ACC put the media behind the benches, and I was right there behind Ethan Saliba and Mike Curtis, who's now my favorite assistant coach on the, or he's not an assistant coach, but my favorite guy on the staff on the team, because he wears his heart on his sleeve. Man, I tell you what. Every time Virginia didn't get a rebound, he was upset about it. Every time they didn't get a loose ball, he was upset about it, very vocal about it. Anyway, I was sitting there with all the managers who were putting the water and the towels and the Gatorade and everything else. I was watching most of the game on the, on that, I was like on the front row of a movie theater, like watching the game like this. Having that view, I could see Leon Bond was sitting down on that end of the bench because the guys who didn't play a lot were sitting down there with the staff guys like that. And Bond, man, he is, like I said, he's everybody's best friend on that roster. I just don't think his game, the way Virginia plays, it doesn't translate. I think if you could get him, I mean, I think I can see Leon Bond playing for lots of teams, including teams Virginia played and lost to. The Colorado State team could take a Leon Bond at 6'5" with his ability to get to the rim, his build. LeBron seems like the kind of guy who could score at the rim in the paint. If you gave him some clear outs, gave him some space to operate with, but in the mover blocker, he's not a jump shooter, so he's a guard at 6'5", size wise in the mover blocker. If you put him in the post in the mover blocker, he's undersized to do that. I just don't think he fits Virginia's system. I'd love to see him playing. I'd love to, for him, I'd love to see him get a chance to show what he can do. Of course, I'd also, I mean, from a life perspective, love to see him get an EVA degree. So if he doesn't go, I'm rooting for him there. And then I would start rooting for us to to open the offense up a little bit. I'm rooting for that anyway. But any of those three guys could step away, and I know I wouldn't be surprised. And actually, I probably wouldn't mind it for the guys as much as also for the program. That could open up more scholarships. Honestly, this team could use some more punch. I know there's guys coming in. I mentioned Jacob Kofi coming in as a forward. I mean, they're all all-stars until they get to college, but Kofi looks like the kind of guy who might be able to add some punch up front. Christian Bliss has been in the program for a year. He reclassified to then redshirt. He would have, this year would have been, this past year would have been his a high school senior year. He decided to matriculate early at UVA, and then use that year as a redshirt year. So he's been practicing with the team, at least until he got injured late in the season. He was walking on crutches. He's in the program already. He's a big guard, a 6'4", 6'5" point guard. Looks like the kind of guy who can maybe remind us a little bit of Ty Jerome as a big guard in that respect. I'm trying to think what else was there in that area. I know that there's a recruit coming in who's a shooter. We'll see, three-star recruit from Canada, who might add some scoring punch there. But I would like to see better utilization of Elijah Gertrude, to be honest. I don't know in this, again, in the mover blocker offense, how he translates. I'd love to see him in a, gosh, I watched Carolina, Alabama last night. I think he could play for either of those teams and play pretty well. But we'll see, right? But there's a bunch of guys that UVA's reached out to who are backcourt scorer types. How they fit into Tony Bennett's system would remain to be seen. Andrew Rohde projected well and did not perform well Probably not a good system fit, offensive system fit anyway, but that is what it is. So yeah, we're gonna be looking at this obviously. You don't know, you can't imagine how many times a day I'm clicking on the various transfer portal links that I've got to just get a sense, try to get a sense of where things are going as far as that goes. It's been eerily quiet, whereas I've been writing a lot about JMU. With its new coach Preston Spradlin, I've been writing about. I mean, Virginia Tech, not only the men's program losing so many guys, Kenny Brooks leaving the JMU women's program, that kind of came out of nowhere. Going to Kentucky, that just was such a huge surprise there. And so there's that. Let's see, you know, kind of wrapping things up. I mentioned I wrote a column on Carolina losing to Alabama last night. You know, recommend, you know, clicking onto that just because, I don't know. I wrote it from a UVA perspective. I write a lot of stuff from UVA perspective, right? But, kind of looking at, some of the X's and O's issues that Hubert Davis had in that one, how Carolina, again, NIL spending is what it is. It's hard to quantify, but, you know, the Carolina, we have to presume spent a lot of money on that Sweet 16. And it didn't work out to get past the Sweet 16. Armando Bacot coming back for a fifth year, RJ Davis coming back for a fourth year. Guys who are really good college players probably aren't going to play in the NBA. Carolina lured Cormac Ryan from Notre Dame, another guy who won't play in the NBA. But really good college players. And Hubert Davis just letting himself get out coached last night. And we said we go into detail as far as that goes. You know, also, I'll just signpost here. We are in the middle of, I guess it's week two of training camp, spring football training camp at UVA, and I've been trying to start getting through the position groups group by group. I've written about, let's see, I wrote about the quarterbacks last week. Today was last week. It was earlier this week. The weeks are. I'm finally getting a sense of where things are now that the ACC tournament, NCAA tournament, are done for us. But yeah, we wrote about the quarterbacks, Gavin Frakes, the guy coming in as a third string quarterback, at least on paper, the transfer from New Mexico State in the mix. Wrote about the defensive backs today. I know we got, let's see, what do we got coming up? The wideouts we'll be writing about, oh, probably over the weekend. Offensive line and defensive line coming up in the next few days. So kind of going position group by position group, and trying to get a feel just for where this UVA program is as it goes through the spring. The spring game is still a few weeks off. In fact, let's see, today's the 29th. It's April 20th, so still 3 weeks from tomorrow as I'm recording. So a ways to go as far as that, but we're going to go position group through, you know, every position group. Let's see, I've already hinted to what I'm getting into now. We'll still have running backs, we'll still have linebackers, special teams, and then sort of some overview kind of things there. You know, I'll just say I wrote about this in the let's see, the immediate offseason, you know, as especially the transfer portal season. You know, Tony Elliott and staff had a good transfer portal season, got some good recruits in off the portal. It was a top 25 transfer portal recruiting class this year. He had a terrible prep recruiting class, and that doesn't bode well for the longer term future. I want to say it was 17th out of the, let's see, 16th out of the 17 football programs. Notre Dame doesn't play football in the ACC. But yeah, again, top 25 nationally on the transfer portal. And so that's the more immediate. You know, I think this is a big year for Tony Elliott. It's got to be a big year. Three wins each the first two seasons. He's got to get Virginia into a minor bowl, playing somewhere up north where it's cold, but still a bowl. It's got to be a game that we pay money to go play somewhere above the Mason-Dixon line. Where it's going to be cold when Scott German and I are sitting in a press box, not happy to have to walk through 20-degree temperatures to get to this game. But Virginia's got to play in one of those games this year, or Tony Elliott starts year four next year, 2025. So, you know, year not this fall, but the fall after. He starts that year. If he doesn't make a bowl this year, he starts 2025 on the hot seat. And so key year, let's just call it that for Tony Elliott and staff. But I'm looking at, you know, I think there's some things in place. I like the offensive line. The quarterback room has depth. The wide receiver room has depth. There's some good running backs there. You know, secondary and defensive line both have depth and experience. A lot of old guys on those two units who are good players. Linebacker, a little bit of question mark there. Special teams has been a question since Tony Elliott got on grounds. It's an important part of the game to have a lot of questions around. But I think this team can eke out 6 wins. And, you know, but we'll get through that. We'll get through that. Any questions for me? Any comments? You want to call me names? That's okay, too, because I'll fight you back. But anyway, email me at chris@augustafreepress.com.